Okay, good luck, everybody. Here we are, Moitzei Shabbos, Parsha Shoftim. And we are about to begin the Gemara after the Mishnah on Lamed Daled. A quick review of what we're talking about. Okay, what are we talking about? Let's see here. Rabbi Shmuel. Let's see. What did Rabbi Shmuel say?
You need 12 anas.
Where did Rabbi Shmuel say that? That was Rabbi Meir, but you mean Rabbi Meir in the name of Rabbi Shmuel? There's no Rabbi Shmuel playing in the Mishnah, right?
According to Shmuel.
No, oh, this is a continuation of the previous Gemara. That's right. Yeah. I have to refresh my memory. I learned this on Fridays. I have to remember. A little rusty.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. So the following section of the Gemara is a continuation of the discussion from the previous halacha. The Gemara said according to Shmuel, it says Rabbi Shmuel always requires 12 amos between gourd patches. So what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim? So we answered that question. We said that the difference was whether you needed a space between, right? In the eight amos of the gourds, do you need a space? It's going to the Chacham, you don't need a space, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you do need a space. That was the difference. Everybody remember? Good book. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Afilu Shur Yechidus Nosan Lo Avoda. Even a single row of gourds, we have to give it avoda. What's he referring to?
If you put it in an onion field, you got to be able to get to it to work.
Seven. Even a single row of gourds is introduced into an onion field. There's no question of the gourds closing in the onions because the onions are not flanked on both sides. They still require an area of 4 amos, 2 amos on each side. Interesting.
Can I ask a question? Gourds grow over ground, correct?
Yes.
And onions grow underground.
That is correct.
So by looking at it?
Looking at it from the top, all you see is greens. You're looking at the leaves. You don't see anything.
And that doesn't make a difference.
Nah, it makes no difference.
Are you talking about seeing it? You don't see the onions, you mean?
Yeah, you don't see that much. From a distance, all you're going to see is green. Everything mixed together. It's not. You're not going to notice the actual fruit. Okay, so what's this coming to say? So the sages, however, say, if there are no 12 amos of space between one row of gourds, then a work area required only where there's 2 rows of gourds are introduced among the onions. In that case, they can close the onions in, so you need a work area. But if it's only 1 row of gourds, then a mere furrow suffices to separate between the gourds and the onions. Okay, so this is very technical. That's why it's hard to remember it. So basically, Rabbi Yochanan is saying the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim is really
one
gourd. If you have 1 row of gourds. So does that require a hachok of Dalan Amos or not? According to Rabbi Shmuel, it does. According to the Chacham, it does not. Okay, so that's all that is. So what about, let's see. Rabbi Yossi says you need to give Dalan Amos if it's a grain field. Ma'alitin avoidal the Russian. So what about the heads? In other words, you have, we've been talking so far about, you have a row of gourds, a row of fields, right? So you have to give Dalan Amos. But what about at the head of the row, right? So you have a long row, 10 Amos long row, whatever.
It means at the ends.
And at the ends of the row, that's the Russian. At the heads of the row, do you also need Dalan Amos at that point?
Well, what are we saying is planted beyond the head of the row?
Nothing.
That's the question. The question is, you're going to plant something onions, for example, onions. You're planting onions on the side of the row of gourds, and you want to plant onions at the head of the row of the gourds. So does the onions at the head require the same rehook. So my answer is kamar tamer gabe karam. It's a simple answer. Just like we say by a vineyard, nice enough in the Russian, you give the work area for the heads of the rows just to, as well as the sides, which is a given apparently, which I guess we'll see in a second how we know that. Of hacha, so here too, nice enough in the Russian, you got to give the heads. So let's look at 10. So beside 9 shows you the picture. Let's see, the law is a gap of 4 amos must be left between a vineyard and any other species one wishes to plant. Four amos are necessary no matter where next to the vineyard you want to plant, even next to the head of the vineyard. So that's just a given. You have to accept that. Okay, that's probably going to become clearer.
That would seem to go according to Rabbi Yishmael, not according
I think that's according to everybody. Yeah. By a vineyard, that's true by everybody.
No, by the court.
We're trying to apply that. I mean, this was the question. What the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, this is the way that we started. Rabbi Yossi said to plant a row of gourds in a grain field, you have to give a work area of 4 amos. Right? That's in the Mishnah? Hold on a second. Let's go back and review the Mishnah. Is it referring to this Mishnah? Yeah, over here. Look in our Mishnah, let me give them a base. At the bottom it says, Shur Shaldidon, Mason Lavai, Dasa, Shisha Tvachim, we give 6 Tvachim. Right?
According to the
Chacham. And Rabbi Yossi says, you give Avai Dasa, Arba Amas. I mean, I don't want to say like Rabbi Yishmael because it doesn't say Rabbi Yishmael in the Mishnah. I mean, Rabbi Yossi is a Tana on his own right. I mean, does Rabbi Yishmael also hold from that? It could be. I don't know. Which Rabbi Yishmael are you referring to?
The one you mentioned before.
The ones we were referring to just now, we're not referring to this Mishnah. We were referring to the previous Mishnah.
Right.
And that case was not a case of gourds inside a wheat field. That was talking about gourds inside an onion field.
Right.
So it's a totally different halacha. These are totally different halachas. It's a totally different Mishnayas. So, and that was talking about enclosed, right? On both sides, you had gourds on both sides. Here we're talking about a row of gourds inside a wheat field. We have Rabbi Yossi saying, you have to give dalet amos. Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yossi, what about the heads? Gemara learns from the Karam that yes, indeed, just like by the vineyard, you have to have dalet amos, so too over here, you have to have dalet amos. All right?
So he's saying you have to have dalet amos all around the field.
All the way around the gourd row. Correct. That is correct. Okay, next. Ma'al Nizraya Ben Hagumos. What about the holes? So here they have... I don't know really that much about this, but apparently it says over here in the beginning of 11, it says it was common to dig a series of holes and insert one gourd in each hole. So more questions. What about planting between the holes? So the gourds were planted in a hole in a row. One wishes to plant between the gourds. So you're in between the plants.
What's the distance between the gourds?
I don't know. Let's say.
Isn't that what's going to determine?
I mean, that's I guess that's the question. Perhaps it's more lenient, it says. In other words, even if Yossi agrees, maybe a gap of 6 tefachim would suffice. That seems to be the question. Well, if Yossi holds clearly dalet amos off to the side. But the question is, what about 6 tefachim in between the holes?
Wouldn't you think that?
You'd think that it would be even more chomer, right?
Yeah.
But apparently, the Gemara has a halakha that would be more kala. Like I said, I don't really understand. This question doesn't sound right to me. I don't know. I don't get it.
That's what it is, though.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a wasted space.
What's the distance between the holes?
That's when I want to plant something.
What we're saying now, I mean, everybody's asking that same question. What's the difference? What's the distance between the holes? That's not what we need to focus on. What we need to focus on is what are the two tzadim in the shaila? There are only two shitas that we have so far. We have the Chachamim Tanakama, who holds the distance is 6 tefachim. We have Rabbi Yaisi, who holds the distance is dalan amos. That is off to the side. Off to the side, there's a svara. Let's not worry about what the svara is. There's a svara that's more chomer than if it's in a line with the holes. Because when it's in a line with the holes, maybe there's a symmetry to the way the plants look, in which case they won't look as murav as it would if they were side by side. Whatever the pshat is in that, I don't know. But the answer to your question is that's going to depend on what the answer to this question is. If you hold that Rabbi Yossi would be makel and would allow 6 tefachim to be the rechuk, then you'd have between the holes 12 tefachim. You'd have 12 tefachim between two holes. You'd have one plant that you want to plant, let's say an onion plant, at 6 tefachim apart from each hole, and that would be mutter according to this tzad. If that's not enough space, then you need dalet amos. Then the only way this shaila is going to, the only way this is going to be answered, then it would be mutter, as if you have 8 amos between two holes, then you can have one plant in the middle, I guess. So the Gemara answers again. The same answer, kamada tamer gabe karet, the same way we said by the vineyard. Also, you can't plant in between the vines. The Gemara answers lachomra. We're using vines as the, as our headquarters to go to answer questions. What happens if you planted 5 gourds and you put them, you supported them next to a wall? The question is does it have a look like an oris? Now, the oris thing is like this. By a vineyard, so it says in 13 the following, but it still holds. You need a minimum of 2 rows to be considered a vineyard. In other words, like this, a vineyard requires 5 vines, okay? But the 5 vines can't be in a single row. If it's a single row, it doesn't matter. A single row, even 100 vines, is not a vineyard. The only way something has halakha like a vineyard is if it takes on a certain shape. Let's for conciseness. The minimum number would be 5 vines. According to Basila, it would be 3 on one row, 2 on another row, and in a certain distance between each other, whatever it is. I'm not going to get into all the details, but that would constitute a vineyard. Okay? So, let's see over here. So that's what he's saying. So a minimum of 2 rows is a legal vineyard. So, and once you have a legal vineyard, that's when you need dalet amos. Single row is not a vineyard and requires 6 tefachim. However, that's only true if they are along the ground. But if they are trained on a trestle, right, on an oris, and require 4 amos, even if it's a single row, right? So, in other words, the single row is going to give it a look like a vineyard, even though it doesn't take on this special shape. Because it gives it a certain kashivas.
Because it's against the wall.
Because it's growing on a trellis. It's oris here. Even though it says it supported them on a wall, I'm not sure how that thoughts fits into this. Rabbi Yain is asking, draping the gourds over the wall, is that the same significance as a vineyard? In other words, I wasn't talking about the wall before, because I was talking about the vineyard with an oris. So again, let's make sure we know what we're talking about here. So when I mentioned before the vineyard, we weren't talking about a wall at all. We were talking about putting vines, which are planted in a straight line, and we're supporting them on either a bed or a trellis, whatever, that it has halacha like a geffen, and you need not rechuk dalet amos. So his question is, if you had, how many? 5, is he saying? Not a chamesh adliun. If you had 5 gourds, and you planted them and supported them over a wall, they were in a straight line, so are they going to have halacha like a, in other words, he picked five because he wanted to match the five vines of the vineyard, which are required. So he picked the same number. So are you going to give it the same halacha that has a halacha like a sada requiring the full rechuk or not? The Gemara doesn't answer the question. Okay. Next.
There's no teku in Yerushalmi?
Nope, they're not into that.
They're not waiting for Mashiach?
No, they're not waiting.
No
Elio? I don't know how to explain it. I don't know why. It's a good question. So now we're on Lamed Aleph on the base. We're going by turn. Okay, the way he explains the next question is that we've been talking the whole time about gourds. But we haven't said Egyptian gourds or
Greek
gourds or, you know, we've basically been just speaking about gourds.
Yeah.
So anyway, so again, we said a single gourd that's planted next to a grain field needs a base rova, right? And other plants and other vegetables will only need six tefachim. So there's a chumrah about gourds. So the question is, are we going to extend that chumrah to other types, which type of plants? So mahu b'chah d'luam misharon eloi. Do we give the large measurement for all gourds, Egyptian gourds, or only for Greek gourds? The Gemara answers, kamach mishar sisa kishus u'pol hamitzri k'dalas yivonis. Wherever you made the chait melon, the Egyptian bean, with the Greek gourd, we made them the same. So at Oisa, the last mitzvah is Kedalas Yevonis. Likewise, equate Egyptian gourd with a Greek gourd. So it applies to both types. The Kansh lo asisa kishus upon mitzvah Kedalas Yevonis. But in our Mishnah, we do not equate chait melon and Egyptian bean with gourd. Rather, the only place you require this special spacing was where the gourd, saying at Oisa, the last mitzvah Kedalas Yevonis. Then you will not make the Egyptian gourd the same. Rather, our Mishnah is only referring to the Greek gourd, okay? Because it's a gourd only. Basically, the Gemara is just saying a klal, gourd only halachas, or what? Greek gourds, okay? That has the larger spread, I guess. Rabbi Yossi Omer, let's see. We said, Rabbi Yossi says, you give Dalet Ames. The Chacham said, you give six tefachim. Let's see. So he's saying that gourds are stricter than other vegetables because base roiva. Yeah, let's keep going over here. Let's see. The Yisivnei, okay, so the Gemara's going to say the following. The Gemara's going to ask a question on the Chachamim, a question they should have asked. Why didn't they ask the following question? The Yisivnei, let them ask the following question. Hare hamakayim klochim lachim lizera. So now the Gemara is talking now, there's distinctions. When the Gemara says lizera, it means seed, okay? It means it's not being grown for the vegetable. It's being grown for the seed to be used to replant for the next season. So hamakayim klochim lachim lizera, if you maintain moist stalks for the sake of seed, yichidim, individual stalks, you have to clear a base rive of separation. You have to make a mechitza. That is a given, okay? That's a rule. Let's make sure we got that rule. That's a Mishnah on 21b. Fields of different vegetables must be separated by six tefachim, only when both species are grown for consumption. Then six tefachim is enough. But if one of them is cultivated for seed, then it has a status of grain. This is really a chazara, if you don't remember 21b, I don't remember it. So just this field of grain has to be separated from a field by base rova, so a field of vegetables maintained for seed has the same halacha as grain and also has to have a base rova, okay? Now, there's another tradition, apparently, that an individual vegetable plant cultivated for seed is treated like a field and also requires a base rova. Okay, so these are chumras. So let's just read it inside again. You see, they let them ask a question. If we go ahead and we have individual vegetable plants which were used for seeds, even though they're individual plants. So there's a chomer that you have to have a base raiva or a mechitza, kalhu b'shura, but it's lenient regarding a row. That is to say, a row of vegetables which are growing seeds, that's treated like a row of vegetables cultivated for consumption, and six tefachim is sufficient. Okay, so that's a kula. Kalhu b'shura. It'll be a kula if the shura doesn't need daladam. It doesn't need a base raiva. So, since individual stalks planted for seed require a base rova, whereas a row requires only six tefachim, so why don't you say the same thing by gourds? Why don't you say that a single gourd requires a base rova when it's next to the wheat field, right? The grain field. But if it would be a row, it should only require six tefachim, which is exactly what the Chachamim hold lahalacha in our Mishnah. This is the Gemara's kasha. Okay, so let's just review it one more time. Let's say it from the top. In the Mishnah, there's a machlokes the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosi. How far is the distance from a row of gourds and a wheat field? Chachamim say six tefachim. Rabbi Yossi says, Dalanamas. Why didn't they ask Rabbi Yossi a question on his Shita by saying, hey, why don't you look at the gourd that's done, the vegetable rather, which is Lizera. Vegetable Lizera, we see there's a distinction between one plant and a row of plants, where if it's a single row of plants, it requires a base rova, even next to a field of vegetables. So you have onions, which are growing for their bulbs, and you have an onion plant, which is being grown for its seed. The onion plant, which is grown for its seed, has a chumrah, that it has a look like a grain field, even though it's a single individual plant, and you have to have dalanamis to take, base raiva, a base raiva. So, but when it's, what's his name, when it's a whole row of onion plants which are being grown for its seed, you only need six tefachim. So that's exactly what we chachamim hold. We're consistent when it comes to, right? When it comes to the gourd, we require it the base raiva if it's a single plant, but if it's a row, then we require six tefachim. So why aren't you consistent with the other halacha of the seeds to the din of the gourds? That's the question.
Can you tell the difference between a gourd that's growing or a grown?
Yeah, totally irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. That makes an assumption. You make an assumption in such a question that everything is, can you tell? This is the setup over here. Chazal gave a din of things that are grown for seeds, like it has a look for like grain. That's just a separate thing. That's the way they gave it.
But I think it's determined by the person that's planting it. They look exactly the same.
Right.
In one case, he uses it for seeds, and the other case.
Okay.
The only thing that the footnote says is that the ones for seeds stay in the ground longer.
Okay, they'll grow a little longer. That's true. That's true. They will grow longer.
For the yarek itself, they chop it up as quickly as possible. They don't want it damaged and whatever.
So there is something that. So then there is something nicker, right?
In the Hebrew, it's six, but it's not parallel. I mean, it's going on.
One word.
On the question. It's going in the middle of the question. He has it, and he says it in the name.
Okay, whatever. Okay, let's move on. Okay, that, anyway, that's the question of the Gemara. Why didn't they ask that question? The Gemara is gonna just say a simple answer. It's like the simplest of answers. The Gemara is gonna say, "Mamandalok Mosavlei Havikain." So from the fact that they did not challenge him with this question, it is evident. Rabbi Yossi Sover Meimar, Rabbi Yossi must hold. Guess what? There's no difference between a row and a single plant of a gourd. That if you have one row of gourds, or you have a single row of gourds, they all require base rova. The assumption, right, is that what he says? I'm sorry, but not the gourds, by the seeds. By the basis of the question was that by seeds, there's going to be a distinction between one vegetable, one plant, and a row of plants. And his answer, his response is, the response is that the diagram we're making here is, since we didn't ask him the question, it must be because he holds there is no difference. It always requires a base robot. Okay, that's the answer. Okay, let's go on. Dom Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yossi, Glilom, Shem Rabbi Yossi, Rav Hanina, HaMakayim Kalachach, HaMasar Shalom Lazara. If you are Makayim, a stalk in your field for seed, Chachla HaFnis LeBase Raiva. You have to clear a base Raiva. I lost the Mechitza, Gemara Asar HaTvachim, make a Mechitza. Afilu min b'mino, even if it's the same min. So in my case, I gave you an example of onions and onions. Same min. Looks exactly the same. That's his point. That you're right. He's pointing this out in his statement. Afilu min b'mino, even if it's exactly the same plant, you still have to have this distinction.
The footnote says it's only Drabana.
Yeah, this is all Drabana. So now the Gemara is going to, now we're on Lamed Hayom and Aleph. Hasev Rabun Barchiya Kumi Rab Zeira. Hasninon. So now he's going to ask like this. It says in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is a Meister Sperk Dalet Mishnah Hay. It says, Kuzbar Shazara Lazera, if coriander which was planted for seed, Yuraka Potter, the green vegetable, whatever it's called, the green part of the plant, is exempt from Meister's, which implies that the seeds are chayv in Meister's. So it seems that the seeds of the vegetables are edible. Now, he says, if the vegetable seeds are edible, then a vegetable grown for its seeds should not be climbed with the same vegetable grown for its fruit, because they're not inherently different. They're both grown for consumption, right? How can you require, this is what he's at, that's what he's asking, he's asking kind of a logical question. He says, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. I have a Mishnah that says that when you grow kuzbar, we look at the purpose of why you're growing kuzbar. It produces two separate sets of output. One is seeds, and one is let's call it the fruit of the vegetable, okay? So if you're growing it for seed purposes, the vegetable part is being ignored, and therefore it's potter min ha-maisus. But the seed vice versa is chayv ha-maisus. The only time you're chayv ha-maisus is if something is edible. So it comes out that the seeds are edible. So if you put coriander seed, you planted coriander for the purpose of its fruit in one patch, and then you want to plant one plant of coriander next to that for the purpose of seeds, you're telling me I have to be marachik a base raiva? That doesn't make any sense. They're both edible, and they both have output which is edible. It can't be that they're going to be climbing with each other. This doesn't make any sense. That's the Gemara's question. So Amralei, so he answered, Shanyahi Kuzbar, Shehi Vizara Necholim. You're right. That's an exception to the rule because they're both edible. So therefore, I'll be maskim. You could taka put those two next to each other, even if you're growing it for the purpose of seed, because taka everything's edible. But in a regular case of vegetation where the seeds are not edible, right? I mean, for instance, I don't know the instance because I haven't seen seeds, but whenever I think of a vegetable seed, I think of my green pepper. I open up a green pepper or a red pepper, and inside are these little white seeds, which are a pain in the neck because they go all over the place. So you have to rinse them off with water to get rid of it.
60.
Yeah, it's a pain in the 60. But food is not a part of the list. It has to be something important. But anyway, but I think of those are not edible. You can't chew on those. They're not edible. So I mean, you could swallow them, but it doesn't have any. You know.
Plant them.
I don't know if you could. Could you plant that?
Sure. I think you grow pepper.
Oh, it won't go pepper.
I don't know. I go to the store and buy a seed. I guess that's the seed. Okay. Anyway, but okay, next. If Yosef ben HaChotef, said Rabbi Yosef ben HaChotef, remember we said Chotef meant why? He chapped on
mitzvahs.
Chapping on mitzvahs. That's the name of this, that's the name of this month, right? Elul is to chap mitzvahs as much as possible. Okay. We'll have to do more Musa during this month. I'm going to really turn it on. You're going to hear a lot of Musa. Okay, let's see here. Let's see. The Mishnah presented two versions of Rabbi Shmuel's ruling regarding climbing with gourds, according to a mayor, three gourds throughout a base saw, according to the version of Rabbi Yosef ben HaChotef Frosim. Then it's even a base core. Remember, we had like two large amounts. One was 8 times the amount. One was 30 times the amount. Rabbi Yosef Rabban. Look at the difference between Rabbi Shmuel in the beginning of his life versus the end of his life. In the beginning of his life, it was a base saw. The sofa of a base core. In the end, he ended up saying a base core. So as he got older, he became more and more machmer. See, I was told the other way, that as you get older, you're supposed to become more and more easygoing. Hadrullah Haruga. Okay. Let's start the new parak. Karachas HaKerem. So, Karachas HaKerem, we're talking about
a bald spot.
Right. So what we're going to discuss here is the yisod is like this. The yisod is that there's a basic machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in this Mishnah. What is the shear of a sodeh? Okay? Is a sodeh 4 amos or 8 amos? Beis Shammai holds a sodeh is 8 amos. Beis Hillel holds a sodeh is 4 amos. Now, the difference between those two shittas is going to be significant in that if you have a kerem on one side and a kerem on the other side, you're going to need double the amount because you need this sheer soda for each side. Okay? In other words, in order for something to be significant, it has to grow in a field. If it's not growing in a field, then even though it may be a little far apart from the kerem, let's say it's more than dalal amos apart from the kerem, but the fact is that it's surrounded on both sides by a line of vines means that in order for me to be able to plant the vegetables, it has to be a vegetable field. It has to have a halakha like a sod. It has to be significant. If it's not significant, then even though there's a rechuk of dalal amos from the kerem, it's still gonna look like it's part of the kerem. It'll be subsumed within the kerem. So that's the yisod of this whole Mishnah. We're gonna have a distinction between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai based on what they hold the sheer soda is, and that's gonna determine how big the area is in between the two sides of the kerem. Now we can read the Mishnah. Karachas HaKerem, if you have a clearing of a vineyard, Beis Shammai says, Esim Arba Amos, you have to have 24 Amos. Why? Very simple, because you need 8 Amos for one field, 8 Amos for the field for the other side, so that's 16 Amos for both sides, and each side needs a Rechuk of Dalan Amos, because you always need a Rechuk of Dalan Amos of Kedei Avoida from each Kerem. So that's another 8 Amos. So 8 and 16 is 24 Amos.
Why can't you use that? Those 8,
you can't.
Including the...
You can't, because you need... That eight is to give a significance to the vegetable field. The dalal amos is for the avodas hakerem. It's totally different things. They can't share that same space.
What do you do with the other 4 amos?
You walk over there with your slaves, and you pick off grapes.
So that's working the field.
That's the avodas hakerem. Avoid us hakerem. That's what that means.
You said there was 8.
No. Forget about the 8 for the time being. Let's just focus on the 4 amos. There's 4 amos that I have today. Avoid us hakerem on the left, and there's a kerem on the right. I gotta have dalal amos on each side.
Look at the chart.
Right, and in the picture you see it.
I see it in the picture.
You see the foramus work area and the foramus work area? Those foramen work areas are where you're going to be doing your work on the carob. Okay? That cannot be planted. You can never plant that foramus work area.
Correct.
Even if it was not, even if there was nothing, you didn't want to plant anything else, right? You can't do that. Right. So now the question is, well, what about the I want to plant more vegetables in the middle. The answer is, you can only do that according to Beis Shammai if you have 16 amos. Because Beis Shammai holds a field is 8 amos. And you need a field for the right side, you need a field for the left side. Okay, that's the way to think about this Mishnah. And of course, Beis Hillel holds, it's going to be how much? Instead of 24, they're going to hold what? Shesh Esrei. They hold, their field is 4, so it's half the size.
You mean the distance from one field to the other is going to be 16? From one vineyard to the other?
That's correct. Right. That's correct.
And the other one's going to be 24 from one vineyard to the other. In order to be able to plant in between.
That's correct. Okay. And right, so if you look at the two pictures, you'll see the Beis Hillel line where it says 16 amos. That line is going from one end, one vineyard to the other vineyard. And the same thing with the picture with Beis Shammai, it's a line that goes from one vineyard to the other, 24. Yeah. All right? Okay, that's the Yisod. Mechol HaKerem. And now we're going to talk about the Mechol, which they talk about where this word machol comes from exactly. It's very interesting. You know, I don't know if it interests you, but I found it pretty interesting that because it's like a dance. So machol, and then you dance in a circle. Because I always wondered, where does this dancing in a circle come from? And I came up with this, maybe this is like silly, but to me, like goyim, the disco dancing, goyim are dance, there's no circle. Yeah, they're dancing either by themselves or with a partner. And they're looking at, you know, the girlfriend or the boyfriend, whatever. That's a guy's dancing. The difference between a Yiddish dance and a Goyish dance is very simple. A dance represents a simcha. When are Yidden b'simcha? When we look at each other and we care for one another. And we share each other's simcha. A guy, you know when he's in b'simcha? When he's inebriated. That it's an egg and a zach. He himself is, he's involved in himself. That's what simcha is by a guy.
Hello.
It's machol. It's machol. Machol. That's right. I thought I thought of this morning whenever I learned this. I don't remember. Anyway.
You take a look at number 6 in the footnotes.
Yeah, he has a little bit about dancing and stuff. Anyway, let's get back to what we're talking about. So why we're talking about the perimeter of a vineyard. That's to say, this is going to be the outside, right? Till now we've been talking about inside the vineyard. What about outside the vineyard? Between the wall, let's say, of the outside that's protecting your property and the beginning of the vineyard, okay? What's the rule with that? So Beis Shammai says, Shesh Esrayama. It has to be 16 amos between the vineyard and the surrounding wall. Beis Hillel says, 12 amos, 12 amos. Now, what's the difference? So again, this is going to be the same kind of thing here. Let's see what it says over here. There's a big footnote here. Let's go just through. Let's go see, summarize what it says over here.
Difference here because in one case Beis Hillel is machmir and in the other case Beis Shammai is machmir.
Huh?
By the perimeter, Beis Hillel.
No, Beis Hillel is mekel. Beis Hillel is mekel in both cases, right? Beis Shammai is machmir in both cases, and Beis Hillel is mekel in both cases.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's take a look at footnote 7. I want to get this clear over here. Normally, you have a 4-amah work area adjoined to any vineyard. And that's judged like the vineyard, and you can't plant in that area. We'll call it that the work area. You can't plant in that 4-amah work area. Now, beyond the 4-amahs is usually regarded as outside the vineyard area, and you could plant there, right?
Right.
Now, in the case of an enclosed vineyard, this is what he writes here, then you can't plant in the space between the work area and the wall unless the space is large enough to be considered an independent field distinct from the vineyard. Right? So
this
when
is eight.
So you're gonna have it all over again, the same Lishitosum.
So eight plus
let's see. So you have the four amos work area outside the vineyard. That's four. Then you have
four amos of the wall
because you can't work within four. Nobody plants anything in the four amos of the wall because it has to. You're gonna weaken the wall. So that's a off. What's it called? Off limits.
Limits.
Oh, thank you. Off limits area. Tzvi, I need your tzvi. Off limits for walking. So you've got four over there. And then you've got the eight area in between.
16.
Total 16. Perfect. Matches what Beis Shammai says in the Mishnah. And Beis Hillel, likewise, who holds...
Four.
You need only four amos. So it's 4, 4, 4 for a total of 12. Okay, that's it. I don't think we need to go into any more than that. Okay? You happy with that? Ezuhi karachas hakerem. Now we're going to go to the term, you know, what these areas are. What is karachas hakerem? So it says kerem shachar v'yom tzol. So that it had been destroyed in the middle. Exactly. I think there's something. There's going to be some talk about somewhere. I'm not sure. I don't remember seeing it where I saw it. There's a reason why it calls it harav. In other words, harav sounds like I didn't clear it. Harav sounds like something happened over there.
Ball.
It became harav, right? Is there a difference in halacha if I went ahead and did it with my shovel, on purpose? I mean, I think maybe if we're lucky, we'll find the footnote that talks about that. Okay. That's what it is. That's what it is. So, imein shom sheish esrei amo, if there are 16 amos between the remaining vines, well, yavi zer l'sham. This, of course, is Beishtil's Shita, right? Hayu shom sheish esrei amo, if you had 16 amos between the vines, so nois l'avodos esrei esam maisa. You give the work area, the 4 and 4, and then you do the rest. Ezel mechol hakerem. That's just reiterating what we know already. It's just repeating what we saw in the picture. What's the mechol? Ben kerem lagada. That's in between the vineyard and the wall. So maybe shem shem esrei amos. If you don't have 12 amos, then you'll be zol l'sham. You can't plant over there. Hay shem shem esrei amos. And if you had 12 amos, nois l'avodos esrei esam maisa. You can plant the rest. Right. So this is all everything that we just said. Yeah.
Explain it again. If you have a wall and you have the kerem, so from the wall you don't want to ruin the wall.
Four from the kerem for the avoda.
Yeah.
Now I need
four in between.
I'm four in between for a total of 12.
Yes. What's a 16?
So can you use that four to plant?
Yes.
Yes. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about those four in between.
Yes. That's
correct. I don't understand why it said 16 and then 12.
Because
that the first part
is Beis Shammai?
No.
Yeah.
Remember, the first part was Karachas HaKerem. This is Mechol HaKerem. If you're talking about a blank in the middle, remember?
Wait, what are we talking about now?
We just said two things. We said Ezehu Karachas HaKerem,
right.
16. Ezehu Mechol HaKerem, 12. We're only doing Beis Hillel Shita.
Gotcha.
So Karachas HaKerem is 16 because you have to have
four
for each side,
for
a total of 8 in the middle, and then you have 4 and 4 for a total of 16. Okay? We got that?
Yes.
Dove?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Rabbi Hudoim, we have another Shita. Einze Ela Geder HaKerem. That which you describe is nothing other than the wall area of the vineyard, which is not subject to any stringency at all. Now, what does that mean? Rabbi Huda's number six. Rabbi Huda's view is that the empty space between a vineyard and its surrounding wall is not called a mechol. And that has nothing to do with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel at all. Rather, that's called a wall. Planting in this area was never specially prohibited, so even if there are, for example, only six amos between the vineyard and the wall, and the wall, the two annex next to the wall can be planted, right? So he's rejecting the whole thing, okay?
He's saying
there was never a problem with the wall. A wall, we made all that up. We said that a wall, because it's enclosed, so it has a special rule, and blah, blah, blah. He says none of that's true. Once you're outside the Dalai Lama's work area, there's no more prohibitions. Okay? That's outside the theory. Apparently, there's a machlokes that had to learn Rabbi Yehuda. Because in the brackets, it says over here, the Rosh and the Rashash maintain that Rabbi Yehuda disputes only the need to discount the four-arm strip along the wall, but they acknowledge that this space still has to be four arms. Okay, I don't know. You know, there are obviously going to be different ways to learn this, but we'll learn one way so we don't get mixed up. So he says, Ein ze ela geder hakerem. Ezehu mechol hakerem. What does he say? Ben shnei karamim. That's if you have not a wall. You have two vineyards, two separate fields, and you want to plant between the two vineyards. So that's the outside of vineyard number one, and outside vineyard number two. So that's where you have this machlokes.
Wait a minute. That's what we defined as karachas hakerem.
No.
Yes.
No, that's you own the karam. I think that's the difference between whether it's somebody else's karam or I think that's the difference. Yeah.
Says the
Gemara is going to talk about it. Okay, well, let's wait for the Lama Zion to get more details. For now, let's just take the assumption that the Reish of the Mishnah was talking about where it was enclosed, and it's one person's Karam. I'm going to assume it's one person's. And the Seifa here, we're going that it's, the Yehuda is going where it's outside one guy's Karam and in between another guy's Karam, so it's going to have a different halacha. I'm not sure 100%. Yeah.
Everybody has to hold to it.
What?
What does he say that is? He says he agrees with the ratio of the Mishnah.
I don't see where he's arguing at all with the ratio of the Mishnah. He's just arguing on the definition of Mechol HaKerem.
Okay.
And if you take a look at Marufoldo, you'll see he'll say Ein Zeh La Geder HaKerem, Mokom Shemin Geder La Kerem Geder HaKerem Koroi. Where do you need the 12 amas? That's a place between two distinct vineyards. Tanakama holds that between two kromim is the same as karachas hakerem. But he holds there's a difference between karachas hakerem and Mechol HaKerem. And the Gemara will explain this more, but for now, that should suffice. That you should, I mean, what I'm just trying to answer you, Tzvi, is it's clear that he is masking with the ratio of the Karachas HaKerem. All right. Ezehu Geder. So again, let's just go through. What does it say here? So what's considered a wall? Gavoy Asar Tvachim. Has to be 10 Tvachim tall. You know, you think about it, it's pretty interesting. You know, we're talking about, you know, when I think about a getter 10th falcon, you know, I'm thinking about davening.
36.
I'm thinking about a sukkah, a mechitza, you know, by an Erev. You know, I think about a wall, you know, I need a halachic wall, right? Here, what do I need? I need a separation, right? So I have a plant on this side of the wall, and a plant on this side of the wall. They're separate. What do I care whether it's 10 Tvachim, 9 Tvachim? It's separate. But you see, no. You see that the halacha is, it has to have a Asar Tvachim. In order to be considered separate, if it's not 10 Tvachim, it's not separate.
That's
where you learn Mechitza. But over here, I thought the context of this particular halacha, it requires a Mechitza.
Hello.
Okay, the charitz shuha amal kasar v'racham arba. If you have a ditch which is 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide, so that would be a ditch, okay?
Yes.
So
it's got to be 4 tefachim wide as opposed to a wall, which could be
like a right. It could be any distance. Yeah. Now we have to still go a little bit more. We have.
I'm going to have to leave.
Oh, you have to leave. Okay. Karachas HaKerem, let's see the Gemara. Karachas HaKerem, on Rabbi Yechon, on Karachas HaKerem, who Kerem Shacharav. The clearing is the vineyard that was destroyed. In both cases, they refer to vineyards that were partially destroyed. But these are clearly two distinct cases. They use two different terms. So one says Karachas HaKerem, the clearing. My creek and oysa me, I'm sorry, they clear the vines from the vineyard in its middle alone. Kerem Shacharav, the vineyard was destroyed. My creek and oysa me, Kotzdanov, they cleared the vines from all its sides. So, the Gemara seems to be making a distinction between how you cleared, how much did you clear? Did you clear just the middle, but you left all the surrounding area? Or did you clear it out from the side, like all the way into the kerem from the actual outside perimeter through the center, right? Let's see. Thirteen, he says, our mission of the clearing of a vineyard is explicitly defined as a vineyard that has been destroyed in its middle. The Mishnah below does not identify the characteristics of a vineyard that was destroyed. Rabbi Yochanan teaches that the difference lies in the extent of the destruction. In our Mishnah, the part that was destroyed is a distinct area within the vineyard. The other Mishnah is a clearing that extends to the outer rows of the vineyard, so that the clear area is not bounded by a vineyard in any direction. So it'll have a different halacha. So we have to look at that Mishnah to know what the differences are, but I don't know what they are right now. Okay, so that's just one thing to know about. That'll be on chapter 5, Mishnah Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yosi, v'hu shabami mata kerem gadol. That, this ruling, what? That a vineyard clearing cannot be planted with foreign seed if it's less than 16 amos wide. That's if it came from a large vineyard. We'll see in a second what large is. But if it was a small vineyard, then it wouldn't be considered a clearing. So now, what he has here is a small and large, is whether there's three rows over here. If there's more than three rows, then it's large. So, if you have two rows left over on both sides. So if you take a look at the picture, diagram A, so you've got two rows, so 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 are still extant. The row that got destroyed was 3, so that's a Karachas HaKerem. But if you're dealing with a small vineyard, you have row 1 and 3, but you originally had 3 rows, but now you only have 2 rows, that's a small one.
So is that a problem, you know, like what we said with the Karam, the Alacha Karam, they need 5 plants in a certain shape?
Yeah, that's basically what he wants to say here. He says that the vineyard loses its status entirely. The surviving outer rows are too far apart to combine with one another, so they don't qualify as vineyards on their own. So there's going to be definitions of vineyards later on. So, in other words...
Then you could for sure plant in between.
So that's the point. That's Rabbi Yossi's point. Who shaba these distinctions of Karachas HaKerem is going to be if it's a large one. So you had a halacha of a kerem on each side, but if you only had a certain minimum number of rows, so then after it was harav, you're not left with a kerem, so mainly you don't have to have such a large area. It's pretty pasha. So the Gemara brings a raya usnin on. And we learned in a brisa, Izul Karachas HaKerem, Kerem Shachar Meyam Soro, Nishtayer Bo Kadei Kerem. But it was enough was left over that it still has a halacha like a Kerem. Beim arba ruchas, beim shalosh, beim shtayim zu kenegetzu. Then it doesn't make a difference whether there's four sides, three sides, or two sides. You've got kromim on all sides. That's enough to require that large amount in the middle. But if it's what? Okay, it doesn't give you the what. Yeah. Okay, we'll have to start the lamed vav tomorrow. But the butt will be, but if it's not, if it doesn't have a locker like carom, then it doesn't have that type of locker. Okay. I can't. I go to Vav. Thank you very much for hanging in there. It was 55 minutes, so it wasn't so bad.